Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1999. A Trial in Jasper.
Hello. Last week, they had a trial in Jasper, Texas, of 24-year-old John King, one of three white men accused of killing a black by dragging him behind their pickup truck. The media made a real circus of the trial. Every night on the television news programs, Tom Brokaw and the other network news announcers reminded us with a grim face and a sober tone about the gruesome nature of the killing. Over and over again, they showed us the chain which had been used to drag the black. They showed us the asphalt road along which he was dragged, with painted circles on the road wherever the police had found blood. And they told us what an awful white racist John King was. They showed us his tattoos. They told us that he was a petty criminal who had been in prison. They read us some of the letters he had written expressing his dislike for blacks. And the media people really rubbed all of this in hard. White racist, gruesome killing, black victim, hate crime, evil whites, good blacks. It was like a ritual chant over and over and over again until they even had a hardened cynic like me flinching. That's the power of television. And now they've got the trials of the other two white men accused in the killing to look forward to. More circus, more ritual. And I hardly need to tell you what the purpose of the circus is. The media bosses are pushing hard to have new hate crime legislation enacted, and their step and fetch it in the White House is eager to oblige. These circus trials are intended to make the white couch potatoes, the white lemmings, feel just a little guiltier for being white, and soften them up so they won't object to having their freedom taken away. And really, that's where all of this is headed. The goal is hate speech legislation of the sort they've already gotten enacted in Canada, Britain, France, Germany, Switzerland, and a dozen other countries where it is now illegal to say or write or publish anything politically incorrect. You know, there are many conservative Americans who sneer at that prognosis. They believe that I am just a doomsayer. They believe that Americans are too smart and too independent to surrender their freedom. Well, sir, I wish that they were right, but I'm sure they aren't. These days, whenever there's an argument about the good common sense or the rugged independence of the American people, about their devotion to principles and to freedom, all we have to do is look at what they elected president twice. That should settle the argument. That raping, lying, draft-dodging, coke-snorting piece of filth in the White House, who is still overwhelmingly popular with the American people, is not a figment of my imagination. He is, unfortunately, all too real. And believe me, anyone who would choose Clinton to be his president will not put up even the slightest resistance to having his freedom taken away in return for the promise of more security. That is how far America has fallen. Let's look at the details. During the television coverage of the trial in Jasper, I did not once hear it mentioned that the black who was killed was himself a convicted criminal. Instead, he was held up to the television audience as a devoted family man, a choir boy, a black man loved by all who knew him, almost a saint, brutally murdered by three low-life white thugs who were racists. And to be sure, there hardly can be any doubt that the three young whites who killed him were lowlifes. All three of them were convicted criminals, just like their black victim. And the killing itself was a pretty good indicator that they were low-class people, certainly not the sort anyone would want for neighbors. The killing was an act of drunken hooliganism done on the spur of the moment without a thought for the consequences. It was done stupidly in a way that was certain to result in the perpetrators getting caught. The media suggested that they believed they were engaged in a race war, whites against blacks, and that their killing of the black part of that war. If that was so, and I really doubt that they had any coherent reason for their actions that night, but if they thought that they were part of some white army, they should have understood that in any white army worth its salt, such drunken foolishness would not be tolerated. Such an act of indiscipline and hooliganism would have resulted in a court-martial and a firing squad for the three lowlifes who did it. The media also made much of John King's racial beliefs. He was a nice boy before he went to prison and was exposed to white racist gangs, they said. After he came out of prison, he hated blacks, they said, and they implied that it was because he had been indoctrinated with racial hatred by these racist gangs while in prison. Another good reason for a hate crime law. Keep these white racist gangs from poisoning the minds of nice, non-racist boys like John King used to be. Actually, what happened to John King while he was in prison was not indoctrination by white gangs. It was direct contact with the reality of the black nature. It was direct exposure to the wonders of life with the colored brother. Let me tell you, I've lived in East Texas. I graduated from a military school in a small East Texas town only about 100 miles from Jasper. And I have a pretty good feeling for what it's like in that part of the country. There are, of course, too many blacks there, just as in most other parts of the country. But in the small towns like Jasper, the blacks are moderately well-behaved. The police don't coddle them the way they do in big cities. The white people in East Texas aren't terrorized by them. And so John King didn't think much about blacks or about the racial situation in this country until he was sent to prison for burglary and was exposed to a majority prison population consisting of black criminals like James Byrd, the black ex-convict he was convicted of killing. I don't want to get into all of the gory details about what young white men are exposed to in prisons these days, where the majority of the inmates very often are black. It is a hell almost beyond imagining for white Americans brought up in a genteel environment. For blacks, homosexual rape is accepted behavior. It is not a rare occurrence. It is routine. It's the way they establish their barnyard pecking order. They rape each other when they must, but they much prefer to rape whites. They get away with it because the government's official position is that it doesn't happen, or at worst, is only a very minor problem. And of course, the media don't like to talk about such things. It doesn't fit. And even if a young white man doesn't get raped, it is something he is constantly aware of, something which he must constantly be on guard against. He is surrounded by blacks who no longer feel that they must ape the white man in their behavior. Instead, they behave in prison in the way that is natural for them, the way they behaved in the jungles of Africa. And you know, everyone in the government understands this racial situation in the prisons. They make jokes about it at their cocktail parties in Washington. Most of them know some fellow bureaucrat or politician who has been sent to prison for taking bribes or committing perjury or the like. And the reality of being thrown into a cage with a mob of unrestrained blacks is something which is never too far below the surface of their consciousness. But of course, in their public statements, they pretend that they believe that blacks and whites are the same, and that there's nothing in particular to worry about if one is locked up with blacks. Well, John King was exposed to the brutal truth when he was sent to prison for burglary, and he learned to hate blacks in a hurry. He turned to white gangs in prison in order to survive. And when he came out, He was indeed a changed man. If there's anything good that can be said about America's prisons today, it is that they provide a strong dose of racial reality to those whites unfortunate enough to be forced to spend some time in them. John King was sentenced on Thursday of last week, and NBC anchorman Tom Brokaw announced the news of the sentencing on the NBC Evening News with these words, and I quote, "And in Jasper, Texas today, the racist got the death penalty." That's the way Brokaw introduced the news, not John King got the death penalty, or the man who was convicted in a dragging death got the death penalty, but the racist got the death penalty. Do you believe that was a slip of the tongue? Listen, Tom Brokaw is paid $7 million a year to read his news scripts. He is paid $7 million a year because he is a very good actor and says convincingly exactly what the Jews who formulate his news program want him to say. He is paid $7 million a year for his half-hour appearance every evening because he uses his words, his facial expressions, his tone of voice to convey exactly the message that his bosses want conveyed. And that message in this case was, racism is a crime and racists deserve the death penalty. That was Tom Brokaw's subliminal message to us, and it was a calculated message. Of course, media people do sometimes make slips of the tongue. On Wednesday of last week, with the Jasper trial on everyone's mind, a well-known white disc jockey, Doug Trocht at Washington, D.C. radio station WARWFM, played part of a song by Grammy-winning black hip-hop performer Lauryn Hill. Well, Doug Trocht, who is best known by his nickname, the Grease Man, didn't like the black woman's song, and so he commented as he stopped it, quote, "No wonder people drag them behind trucks." Now, that was a slip. Within hours, the CBS-owned station had fired Trocht. Before the day was over, he also had lost his job as part-time deputy sheriff in suburban Falls Church, Virginia. And you can bet your bottom dollar that he never will be allowed to work again in the controlled media. He made the mistake of saying what was on his mind. But Tom Brokaw didn't make a slip when he introduced the news the following day about John King's sentencing with the words, "And in Jasper, Texas today, the racist got the death penalty." Tom Brokaw was delivering a subliminal message calculated by Neil Shapiro, the Jewish executive producer of the NBC Evening News, and Brokaw's other Jewish bosses. The message again was, racism is a crime. Not liking blacks or Jews or mestizos or Asians is a crime. Racism deserves the death penalty. We need a law against racism. Tom Brokaw is paid $7 million a year by his Jewish bosses because he delivers subliminal messages like that very skillfully, very convincingly. Tom Brokaw is paid to be a Judas goat, to lead the sheep to the slaughter. Now, perhaps you think that I'm imagining things. Perhaps you think that I am way off target, first in imagining that the media coverage of the news has the effect of making white people feel guilty and of conditioning them to give up their freedom without protest, and second, in imagining that this is the result of a deliberate plan by the Jews who control the media. Well, I wish that it were just my imagination. But you know, the panicked reaction to the Grease Man's casual comment, "No wonder they dragged them behind trucks," his immediate firing by his radio station, where he was by far their highest rated announcer, and his firing by the sheriff's department for his politically incorrect slip of the tongue. That wasn't my imagination. White people do feel intimidated by the media propaganda. In Jasper, Texas, the white people are falling all over themselves in their efforts to apologize for being white. The effect of all the media publicity has been guilt, guilt, guilt. White men, as well as women in Jasper, have been wringing their hands in anguish and begging not to be judged as racists just because of John King and his two companions. One of the first things the white people of Jasper did was tear down a fence which had divided the white and black sections of their cemetery. And the 11 white people on John King's jury chose the one black man on that jury to be the foreman so that they could show the world that they aren't racists. Now they've built themselves a new city park and named it James Byrd Jr. Park. How many other towns in America have named city parks after local ex-convicts? Indeed, James Byrd was an ex-convict who happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and got himself killed in an especially messy way. But he's still only an ex-convict, a petty criminal and ne'er-do-well. And it's quite clear that if he had been white instead of black, no city park would have been built in his honor, no matter how messily and painfully he died. And so the effect of the media coverage of this killing has been to create a sense of white racial guilt in the Lemmings. What about the motivation behind the media coverage? Why did this trial in Jasper get such enormous media coverage all over the country? Was it just because the defendant had committed an especially gruesome crime? The more gruesome the crime, the more coverage the trial will get. Is that it? No, not really. You know, another murder trial opened the same day that John King's trial did. While John King was being tried in Jasper, Texas last week for killing James Byrd, Danny Martinez was being tried in Denver, Colorado for the rape, torture, and murder of 14-year-old Brandy Duvall. But of course, unless you live in Denver, you haven't heard a word about the Martinez trial. Tom Brokaw didn't even mention it. All you've heard about is the King trial. Is it because the murder Martinez committed wasn't as gruesome or newsworthy as the murder King committed? Well, I'll let you be the judge. Martinez and six other members of the Mestizo gang to which he belongs, the Bloods, grabbed 14-year-old Brandy Duvall from a Denver bus stop where she was waiting for a bus. They took her to a house where one of the gang members lives, and they held a 14-year-old white girl down on a mattress while she was gang-raped for several hours. The gang members then took turns sexually torturing the white junior high school student. They repeatedly rammed a broomstick into her vagina while she screamed and begged for her life. Then, after they had finished amusing themselves, Martinez and the other mestizos handcuffed the bleeding white girl, put a hood over her head, and drove her to a drainage ditch. There they stabbed Brandy Duvall 28 times with a butcher knife and then dumped her body into the ditch where she bled to death. After that, the gang members went back to the house and disposed of the bloody mattress on which she had been gang raped and sexually tortured. And as I just told you, Danny Martinez was being tried for this horrible crime last week at exactly the same time John King was being tried. So why do you think the media focused so heavily on Jasper, Texas, and didn't have a word to say about the trial in Denver? Could it be that the Jasper trial served their propaganda purpose and the Denver trial didn't? Could it be that the Jewish media bosses wanted to make white people feel guilty and intimidated, and the Jasper trial served that purpose, while the Denver trial didn't? Could that be the only reason why they covered up the horrible rape, torture, and murder of 14-year-old Brandy Duvall while they beat us over the head with the dragging death of a black ex-convict in Texas? Could it be that they kept quiet about Brandy Duvall because she was white and her murderers were mestizos? Did they make a circus out of the Jasper trial just because the victim was black and the murderers were white? That's what I think. What do you think? Let me just recap this for you, because it really is extraordinarily important. What happened in Jasper, Texas, to a black ex-convict shouldn't have happened in a civilized society. It was an especially gruesome murder, and there is no doubt that John King hated blacks as a consequence of his own experiences with them in prison. All of that is a legitimate subject for news coverage. But what happened to 14-year-old Brandy Duvall in Denver is even more terrible than what happened to James Byrd. It is more newsworthy, something which the white citizens of this country should be more concerned about, because it was an organized gang attack by non-white racists, by mestizo racists, on a white person. An innocent white child was killed in Denver, while the victim in Jasper was a black criminal, an ex-convict. The news media have gone all out on the Jasper trial and have been completely silent on the Denver trial, not because the killing of James Byrd was more gruesome than that of Brandy Duvall, or more newsworthy, or more interesting to television viewers, but solely because in Jasper, the victim was black and the perpetrators were white, while in Denver, the victim was white and the perpetrators were mestizos. That is the only reason for the enormous disparity in the news coverage of the two trials. The only reason. The Jasper trial suited their purpose, and the Denver trial didn't. And that purpose, the purpose of the Jewish media bosses, is to make white people feel guilty so that they won't oppose the Jews' campaign for so-called hate crime legislation, the same sort of legislation which the Jews have succeeded in having imposed on the people of Canada and Britain and France and Germany and Switzerland and much of the rest of Europe. It is legislation whose real aim is to keep white people from defending themselves against the Jews, to keep white people from criticizing the Jews or speaking out against their activities. And this white guilt campaign by the media is working. It is having the desired effect. Many white people are feeling guilty as a result. Many white people are feeling ashamed of their natural dislike of blacks. That's why Doug Kocht, the grease man, lost both his jobs so quickly when he made a politically incorrect remark about the Jasper trial. That's why the white citizens of Jasper have named a new city park after a convicted black criminal. That's why there will never be a park in Denver named after Brandy Duvall. Yes, the media bosses planned this propaganda campaign, and Tom Brokaw is doing a very effective job as a Judas goat. But you know, if this campaign doesn't work for the Jews, if it backfires in the long run and white Americans reject the effort of the media bosses to take away their freedom, Tom Brokaw may decide that $7 million a year was nowhere enough payment for his treachery. Let's aim for that. Thanks for being with me again today.